Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere in the nation on that free Odyssey app. It is 409, 65 degrees on this Wednesday, April 30th, 2025. And today is the 50th anniversary of the fall of Saigon. And it's an honor to bring on my good friend. He's an Arizona state representative. He's a patriot. He's a Navy dad. He's also a Vietnam refugee from Vietnam. Quang Nguyen. Quang, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show today.
Rob, it is so good to hear from you. And once again, congratulations to two beautiful and wonderful children who are serving our country. I really appreciate your family and your service yourself as a former NYPD. So I really appreciate being here with you.
I appreciate your service to your state of Arizona, as well as your daughter, who's somewhere under the sea doing something somewhere. You know, she's a submariner officer out there doing something right now. I know you're just as equally as proud of her.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's hard to get a hold of your daughter when she's out there and out and about somewhere. But great to be here, sir.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, when I knew this was coming up, and I was glad you were available today. I know things are busy out there in the state house in Arizona. You're fighting your own battles out there. But you've had some passionate speeches at events on the government floor about your experience with the communist regimes in Vietnam and your family's struggles there and your pathway here to America.
You know, I can positively tell you, and I think you know already, that this is probably the greatest country as God has given to man, right? So I was one of the luckiest people during the fall of Saigon. 6 days before the fall of Saigon, I hitched a ride on the Air Force C-130 and made it to the United States via the Philippines, Guam, and Travis Air Force Base. And, you know, being there, I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice a little bit because I'm recovering from laryngitis. But, you know, to be able to be here and appreciate freedom. And, you know, like I said, you don't really understand freedom until you live in, you know, tyranny. You don't really understand living until you live on the edge of death. And I think I've done all those things, and I'm just so grateful to be a member of the greatest country in the world, and we'll call ourselves American citizens. And, you know, life has been great, but 50 years ago, it was a really sad event where the United States had a victory snatched away from them by Democrats, the 93rd Congress politicians. You know, we had a sure victory until those guys came along and defund the entire war. And 2 years later, these guys, Vietnamese guys, were fighting with no resupply and fought with whatever they have left. But Rob, can you imagine if somebody left us $1 billion worth of equipment like they did in Afghanistan? Can you imagine what would Vietnam be today?
Yeah, you can just imagine, but you being there and you paint a stark picture. You lived it. You saw it firsthand. You've lived under that tyranny. I mean, you were young, but your family did as well. You had family members that were no doubt, you know, targeted by the communist regime there. And the appreciation you have of this country, seeing both sides of it, and I know you talk about that often, and when it comes up, that discussion is, oh, you know, maybe we should be more socialist-leaning, maybe we should be more, you know, have a communist plan where, you know Medicare for all and all these things that haven't worked anywhere in the world where they've been instituted. You've been a stark adversary of that, saying no, I've been there, I've seen it firsthand. You don't know what you're talking about, and that's not that you want anything but that.
Correct. And for some reason, if you go onto a website, and I really encourage you to go and see it, it's the Communist Party USA, right? For some reason, everyone in that group of people, and to some extent, the young college students these days, with the exception of your son, your daughter, and my daughter, right? And another almost 4,000 kids at the Naval Academy there. For some reason, we believe that the United States can do socialism and communism better than anybody else. You know, you've heard the saying, you know, the tiger doesn't change the stripes, right? Or the zebra, however you want to say it. But we, in order to have a communist society, everything you own has to be stolen away from you, because communism itself generates zero revenue. So the only way they have revenue is to steal it away from hard-earning, you know, American workers. And for some reason, these guys are under the impression that the United States will do communism better. No, it's, you know, equality is about, you know, you and I are equally dead when it comes to communism, or we're equally hungry, or we're equally starving, or we're equally poor. And I, in my speeches, I want to make sure people understand that, because I didn't read it from a book. I didn't, you know, I didn't go to college and heard it from a professor. I lived it. And there's a huge difference. So many people gave their lives away to have freedom. And that's all I can tell you. I mean, we gotta stop people from breeding socialism into our state, especially the state of Arizona. And I'm very fortunate to be the chairman of judiciary. And Rob, most people don't know this. I killed 74 anti-gun bills since I became the chairman. And they don't ever stop, Rob. They don't ever stop.
I know you've done a ton of work out there as far as fentanyl, because it's a big problem everywhere, but especially in Arizona. You know, your gun advocacy out there. I mean, that's how we first became friends. You know, a friend that I worked with in the NYPD moved out there. You know, began working with you with youth firearms initiatives out there, and you know, that's how we met. And then when your daughter attended the Naval Academy a year after my son, you know, we've been friends for what, almost a decade now.
Oh, absolutely. I remember we were tailgating in San Diego when the Navy was playing Notre Dame in San Diego. We were tailgating back there. I still have pictures from that. But I have to tell you, fentanyl, you know, I'm sure you heard, 60% of the fentanyl infiltrating the United States came through the border of Arizona. Now, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of good news. One sector has as many as 2,000 per day crossing. They are down to less than 100 per day. I mean, it's what a drastic difference between 4 years ago and 100 days ago. I mean, think about it. The state of Arizona is recovering from all the human trafficking, the sex trafficking, the fentanyl coming across the border, and the crimes coming across the border, MS-13, you name it, we got it all. But that is becoming more and more under control. And I'm beginning to feel positive that Arizona is coming back to what she was before Biden took over.
I know Tom Homan was recently out there and addressed your chamber. I'm good friends with Tom. I speak to him often. And it's good to hear you on the ground talking about the results that you're seeing, the work that they're doing, the work that our Border Patrol, our great men and women of Border Patrol, are actually allowed to do now.
Oh, absolutely. Tom was great. I had a quick moment to shake hands with him. And the only thing I say, Rob, to him was, you're looking at a war immigrant, somebody that came to the United States legally through the front door and became a U.S. citizen myself. And Tom actually shook my hand and said, you know, thank you for what you do and thank you for doing it right. And I think we need to, you know, people said to me all the time, you know, immigration, we got to fix it because it's broken, and we got to make it so that it doesn't take that long to become a U.S. citizen. And my reply is always, look, it took me 8.5 years to become a U.S. citizen. I want everyone to come to this country to have to face the same identical pain that I face, because this country is so special that it shouldn't be any shorter than 8 or 9 years to become a U.S. citizen. You know, hey, I hope a lot of these guys just give up, you know, because if you give up, you don't belong here. This is a great country, gives you all the opportunity. But I'm not here because of economic success. I'm here because I was looking for freedom, and I found it. And I want to make sure my family and my children and your children would never, ever, ever, ever have to face the kind of crap that I did in my first 13 years of life.
And that goes to a greater saying that I definitely wanted to touch on. I mean, you've lived through war. You've been there. You escaped war and to come to America, and America embraced you. And you said you fought to be part of America, to become a citizen. And then years later, you know, you helped your daughter and guided her and walked her through to serving our nation for possible war if this nation needs it. And I know what that means, and a lot of parents out there know what it means. We have a big military listening audience out there that have children or family that served. That says everything about how you and your family have embraced America and feel about America and know that it's worth fighting for.
Oh, absolutely. I can tell you right now, people ask me all the time, have you ever come back to Vietnam to visit? And I literally said I would never return to that poop hole. And the reason for that is the AK-47 is still there. The ugly uniform that step on people's lives and spirit, that uniform is still there. And, you know, when we got here and when Sarah said, Dad, I want to go to the Naval Academy, my wife and I were all in, whatever it is that you need. And Rob, you remember the saying, your mid, my mid, right?
Yep.
Your mid is my mid. It says a lot because if you know, Gavin was to travel across the United States and needed a home to stay in Arizona for a week, you know, Mai and I will be there for him. And that's what the spirit of America is all about. We protect our children, we protect our military, and we do everything we can to make sure that they're comfortable in serving and protecting us. That's what I love about this country so much. You and I, total strangers, a New Yorker and an Arizonan, and yet we become, you know, best of friends. And that's what I love about this nation.
Well, I'm so glad you made it from what your self-described hellhole it was, and anyone who was there or served there says pretty much the same thing, to here now in America, and as an American, as my fellow patriot here, and to have your family serving alongside with my family, it's just a tremendous blessing to me. And you know, I wanted to get your story out there today because it is meaningful. 50 years ago today, you know, our failed government failed us as a nation, failed the people who wanted to be free in Vietnam as a nation. And we've seen the repercussions of that. And have we really learned from it? Maybe not. We still see that type of, you know, non-committal across the world, across history. So hopefully, as we talk about this and talk about people who were literally there, escaped their lives from there, we can learn that lesson.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the way I look at it is a nation has the right to get involved in a war or not. I mean, when I was a little kid, I don't know anything about America or the politics behind it. But once the politician made a commitment to go into a nation to defend it from tyranny, you got to go all in to win, right? I mean, if you look at the bombing of Hanoi, I mean, they were literally 5 days away from surrendering. So guess what we did? Congress pulled it back and said, you can't do that anymore. I mean, you and I may never have had an opportunity to meet each other if the bombing went through Hanoi. I still have my country today. I still have my freedom today. And I'm sure Sarah would have been serving her country over there. But we don't ever learn that lesson. We commit to go to war, and we have all these people following America. And then when America decided to go away, you have no idea how many people were executed that actually stood alongside America. And so these guys aren't ever going to learn. But I hope things will be better for your children and mine is that, you know, we have somewhat of a commander-in-chief. And I love this commander-in-chief because he actually deserved the title commander-in-chief. My daughter feels better, and I'm sure your children are feeling better too. And by the way, Rob, once again, congratulations on you have another one graduating in May, and I wish I could be there for you.
Well, I appreciate it, my friend. Again, we're speaking to Arizona Representative, State Representative Quang Nguyen. He's a good friend of mine for over a decade now, a patriot, American citizen now, a refugee from Vietnam, from the fall of Saigon, or just before the fall of Saigon. I appreciate you joining us with your voice still under repair, Quang, but it's good to hear from you, my friend.
You too. Take care, Rob, and I hope to see you on social media.
Sounds good. Thank you, my friend. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 4:28, and my friend Quang, who I just had on, his daughter's a submarine officer out there under the water doing stuff, and it's crazy. I mean, I at least have contact to where, you know, a couple of days go by maybe, but then I'll get a, you know, everything's good or a thumbs up or something minor, an email saying, you know, all good, miss you guys type thing. And I'm sure there's some sort of email or some kind of contact, but they're gone for months at a time. Like by gone, I mean no communication whatsoever. You have no clue where they are. That's the life of a submarine crew. And it's just incredible. And she's just an incredible young lady. I've had the opportunity to know her since 2016. And again, just an outstanding young lady serving our nation. So the Wisconsin High Court has suspended that Milwaukee judge that's been accused of helping a man evade immigration authorities. She's facing federal charges for concealing the individual to prevent his discovery and arrest and obstructing or impeding a proceeding. Now, here's the thing, though. This Wisconsin Supreme Court that suspended this judge is extremely left-leaning. In its two-page order, the state Supreme Court said it was acting on its own initiative and not responding to a request from anyone. Liberal justices control the court 4-3. So the attorney for this judge has had no immediate comment. A state court spokesperson said that a reserve judge has began to fill in for her schedule of the court of cases that she has pending. That started on Monday for an indefinite period. So obviously this court case is going to have to be adjudicated before she can obviously take duties before the court again. So even though she's out on bail and such, she will not be hearing cases. She has been suspended by the liberal-leaning Milwaukee, Wisconsin Supreme Court. So it just shows that there is maybe a little more there than the media let us believe, that this is not just the mean old Trump administration overreaching and targeting judges. And again, her own court officer is a witness against her. Her own court clerk is a witness against her. The stenographer is a witness against her. The defense attorney and prosecutors that was in the courtroom dealing with the domestic violence case that she was hearing are witnesses against her, that she did in fact do these things. It doesn't look good. I mean, I could see the way this goes, some sort of plea. But that doesn't negate the fact that the wrong was done. And it should send a clear message to other jurists across the nation that it's not going to be tolerated. It's 4:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. That's a song from a local artist, Nate Hosey, up by me in Scott Township, who a song called Stand, and I appreciate him letting us use it for the segment of Heroes here, where we honor our police officers from around Pennsylvania who made the ultimate sacrifice on this day, April 30th. Today we have one, Patrolman Avery E. Freeman, Chester City Police Department in 2012. He succumbed to complications of a surgery required after injuring his knee while on duty. He and another officer had arrested a female subject at the scene of a domestic disturbance. As Patrolman Freeman walked back to his patrol car, the suspect jerked and slipped. They both slipped on wet, moss-covered bricks and fell, injuring both knees. The injuries were severe enough that surgery was required. As he recovered from the surgery at Taylor Rehabilitation Center, he suffered a fatal pulmonary embolism. Patrolman Freeman had served law enforcement for 17 years. He was survived by his four children, mother, and siblings. And that's our one from today. And I also want to talk about another story. I posted this on my Facebook page, so you could see it there. And if you haven't seen it, I really suggest you take a look at it, because it's what's great about the men and women in law enforcement and first responders in general. And this is coming out of Pembroke Pines Police Department. While conducting a presentation for Career Day at Panther Run Elementary School, Sergeant William Sands noticed that one of the students was visually impaired. Sergeant Sands pulled Ivana aside and gave her a guided tour of his police vest, allowing her to use her hands to see his uniform equipment as he explained each part's use. So we're honored to be able to assist all children in learning about the police officers who serve and protect their schools. There's a picture there showing this happen. They asked permission from the child's daughter. She appears to be a young teenager. She has her walking cane. She is obviously at least mostly blind. And the officer went from each piece of his equipment, holding her hand, guiding her, letting her feel it, letting her touch that piece of equipment, and explaining to her exactly what it was and exactly what it was for. It's truly a touching photo, enough so to where both the school and the police department and the child's parents wanted to put it out there and thank this officer for going that extra step, for seeing something and doing something because of it. And that's our law enforcement officers that are out there. Those are our first responders out there. That's our 911 operators. When you make a call, they're there for you. They might not be in front of you. They not be able to physically handle you, but they are caring for you, no doubt. Our first responders, our firemen, our EMTs, they all do this. And it's good to see this in a positive light rather than the negative about law enforcement that so easily sells in the public media realm. So if you want to see that story, you can go to my Facebook page. I posted it about 7 hours ago, but it's up there. You just go to me and you scroll down and you'll see a picture of this. Give it a like. Give it a comment because great thing. Great thing there. It's 440 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Here's the Storm Tracker 16 forecast. Tonight, partly cloudy. A low of 43. Going to be a little cool tonight, but I like it. Thursday, partly cloudy with a chance of late day shower. High of 75. Friday, clouds with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. High of 75 as well. See, this little rain coming through. I was sitting there the other day, 2 days ago, when it was nice and sunny out. And anytime the wind blew, I have a big pine tree in the backyard. Anytime the wind blew, you would see this cloud of yellow mist come off it like smoke, that pollen from the pine tree. Now, this rain helps keep that down, so I'm okay with it. We don't need the allergies flaring up. It's time for traffic with EJ. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's time for Today in History, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? Here's an overview of significant events in U.S. history that occurred on April 30th. Some founding moments in nation building, 1789. George Washington took the oath of office as the first president of the United States in New York City, marking the nation's first presidential inauguration. 1789 on this day, April 30th. 1803, the United States and France completed negotiations for the Louisiana Purchase, acquiring the vast territory that doubled the size of the young republic. 1812, Louisiana was admitted as the 18th U.S. state following acquisition through the Louisiana Purchase. So it took 9 years for them to make it a state after they had it. 1900, Hawaii officially became the U.S. territory under the Hawaiian Organic Act, established the territory, government, and set the framework for Hawaii's political structure. Some wars, tragedies, and turning points. 1863, the Battle of Chancellorsville began in Virginia during the Civil War, a pivotal conflict in the Eastern Theater. That was 1863. 1900, engineer John Luther Casey Jones died heroically in a train wreck near Vaughan, Mississippi, after staying at the controls to save passengers. 1945, as Soviet troops approached the Berlin bunker, Adolf Hitler and his wife, Eva Braun, committed suicide, allegedly, marking the significant moment in World War II. 1975, the Vietnam War ended as the South Vietnamese capital of Saigon fell to communist forces, leading to the reunification of Vietnam. 1973, President Richard Nixon announced the resignations of top aides amid the Watergate scandal, a pivotal moment in U.S. political history. Some culture, technological, and global events. 1993, the World Wide Web was publicly released by CERN, C-E-R-N, revolutionizing access to information and communication. 1993, that's where the downfall began. 1993, tennis player Monica Seles was stabbed during a match in Hamburg, Germany, an event that shocked the sports world. 2004, the U.S. faced international outrage over photographs of a naked Iraqi prisoner being humiliated by U.S. military police, leading to widespread condemnation. 2021, Disneyland reopened its gates after the 13-month closure due to the coronavirus pandemic, marking a significant moment in the return to normalcy. Are we normal yet? I don't know. Some notable birthdays today. We have Jane Champion, who's a filmmaker. Lars von Trier, filmmaker. Johnny Galecki, actor. Gal Gadot, actress, played Wonder Woman. Travis Scott, rapper. And Antonio Guterres, UN Secretary General. And that's today in U.S. history. I got some text messages coming in. You can call or text 570-883-0098. Said, my car looked like it got hit with a powder bomb from being parked near the pine trees. And then the birds added their own special toppings to it because they're actively nesting in those pine trees. Jake, that's not funny. Jake's laughing. Come on, Jake. It happens. It happens. You know what's interesting, though? When I was down in Virginia, 3 weeks ago, their pine trees were on full bloom, I guess, where everything on the car, you had yellow dust, yellowish green dust on covering the cars all over the sidewalks, the streets. It was just over everything. So we're a couple weeks behind up here because, again, I was sitting on my deck just 2 days ago, and anytime the wind blew, it literally looked like smoke was coming from this huge pine tree that I have in my backyard. And it was like, ooh. Then we had the storms last night, so hopefully it knocked a lot of it off. And it only lasts for a little bit, but it's annoying when it does. It's annoying when it does. And the maple trees are dropping those little pain-in-the-neck leaves or whatever they drop this time. It's all in my pool cover, which I'm going to come off soon, but it's good. I let them all drop, empty the cover, and then it's time to open that little sucker. I enjoy the pool in the summer, especially you're done cutting the grass and you just jump in. Nice and refreshing. But that's today in history. I appreciate the text messages coming in. It's 4:51 here at WILK. Let me tell you about the goodfeet.com. I have them in my shoes right now because I learned a lesson 2 weeks ago where I forgot to put them in my dress shoes. And I had a formal event down out of state, and I had to suffer. And man, did I suffer. And not only that, even when you put them back in, it takes your feet time to relearn. They got to reorganize the way you walk because that's what the good feet insoles do. They kind of reteach your feet how to walk. They support the arches. They support the muscles, the ligaments. And it takes some time. Once you do that damage, once you stretch them out in a bad way, which we're all doing walking normally without these arch supports, that's what causes the pain, and the pain radiates, and it grows up to your leg, your sciatica starts going, your knees start going. So now I have them in, and it took a couple of days to correct, but I'm back to normal, not pain every day. You can check out these arch supports and go for your free test walk at the Goodfeet store located in Scranton on Route 6 across on Commerce Boulevard across from the Olive Garden. They are located at 1945 Commerce Boulevard in Scranton. You can call them at 570-534-0980. Check them out online at goodfeet.com. And what I love about them, they're proudly made in the USA, so there'll be no tariffs on these things. There'll be no increased price. They are what they are. Check them out because you're not going anywhere without good feet. Giddy up, mofo. Jake was just about to reach for that dumb button and says, no, he said something else. Got to keep everybody on their toes there, Jake. Got to keep them on their toes. You know they're listening. You know they're listening. Can't help themselves. Hello. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. We're coming up on a 5 o'clock hour here. So how about that hug? Everybody needs a hug every now and then, right? But did you see when Donald Trump got off Air Force One at the tarmac in Michigan. Governor Whitmer was there, as she should be, as any governor should be, regardless of partisan politics. And, you know, she extended her hand for a handshake, and Trump went in for the, you know, the casual hug, you know, kind of got her on her shoulders and, you know, the typical, you know, not an embraced hug, but a kind of, hey, how you doing hug. And listen, that's a good sign. It just goes to show it's nothing personal. Politics are politics, and we should learn from this. And then, you know, she was at the event with the military base there, where they announced their A-10 Warthogs are being retired. The A-10 Warthogs are close ground support, a close air support for ground troops, and it's a valuable asset. It's irreplaceable, to be honest with you. And they're going to be replacing it with a new version of the F-15. Now, they do two different missions. Can the F-15 support ground troops? Absolutely. Does it specialize in it like an A-10 Warthog? No. And, you know, I've spoken to A-10 pilots. I've seen the capability. They're using them right now in Yemen against the Houthis. So they're still in use. They're retiring them like the end of this year. But they're still in use, serving a great purpose. Fast movers, get on target pretty quickly. Have a an outstanding Gatling gun in the front of that thing that basically sounds like a chainsaw going, and throws out a few hundred rounds in a matter of seconds. But, you know, they were there at the base, and he introduced her to come up and speak, and she came up surprised. She was like, I wasn't expecting to speak. And she made it about the military. You know, she said, you know, I just want to thank the troops that are here, the men and women who are serving our nation, and it was a good event. But she's getting backlash from Democrats, you know, for embracing Trump in a positive manner. And I think we could use this as a learning experience. You know, we talked about yesterday, both Congressman Bresnahan and Senator McCormick have introduced separate bills about term limits for Congress. And it's something that the polls show 87% of voters agree with. And you think it would be something that we could push across the finish line together, bipartisan, as regardless of political party, of your political affiliation, or how you think about everything else. Let's join together and get term limits for our politicians that represent us, because we all agree on it. And I think we should all agree that, you know, we should all be human to each other. You know, we can call out each other's differences. We can argue about policy. We can argue about how to get to the end game. But it's nothing personal. And I think they both showed that. They were both very cordial, very nice, very pleasant to each other. And that's the way it should be. Now, if they go their own way and say, you know, I disagree on policy here, or I don't like the way she does this, or I don't like the way he does that, that's fine. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's politics. But, you know, even Trump said, you know, my advisors told me not to bring her up because, you know, she's a Democrat. And he goes, but it's her state. And it wasn't about him. It wasn't about her. It was about the troops. It was about, you know, assets and equipment for them to do their mission. So it was good for them to put that aside. But, you know, they're both getting flack from their parties because in this day and age, you can't play nice with each other. You know, we have to be at each other's throats. We have to be attacking each other. You know, I could disagree with the way your policies. I could disagree with the way you say things. I could disagree with what you say vehemently. Doesn't mean I don't like you. Doesn't mean I dislike, you know, I hate you. I want anything bad to happen to you. Some people don't know how to navigate that. A lot of people don't know how to navigate that. And we're instilling it more and more. It looks like there is some hope with our younger generation. I'm talking about 18 to 23 seem to be having a better grasp on that, where the 23 to, I don't know, 35-year-olds seem to have gone off the cliff on a clown car. But listen, it's just interesting that that's the case. Jake, I got new sound effects. Did you know that? See, I could play things like this. Welcome to Politics Today. Ta-da! We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show in just a minute.